We are going to read from John 10, verse 11 through 18. John 10 is on page 1666 in the New Testament. And I'm going to read, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So far the reading.
Father, thank you. Thank you that we can be here to worship this morning and we can sing praise and we can reflect on how you're shaping us and who you're shaping us to be. We can talk to you and we can listen to your word and we can reflect on it. Lord, we pray that this time of worship this morning will shape us more and more into the people you're calling us to be. Lord, I pray that the words that shall be spoken next, Lord, may they be your words and not mine. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. To start this message, I just want to give credit to Philip Keller, who's a shepherd, who took time to reflect on Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, and as a shepherd, gave us a deeper picture into Psalm 23. And because we reflected on this very passage during Advent just a few months ago, I could just have pulled that up and then just done it over again. But I thought at that time we looked at some of the elements of the story, and we're going to reflect on that as well. But I thought I'd dig deeper into what the image of shepherd is. So I give credit to Philip Keller for much of the second half of this sermon. But I also realized I had not touched on what comes before this passage. And this is part of a bigger thought and image and picture that Jesus gives of himself as a good shepherd. This is the ending part of that reflection. But to lead into it, John places this teaching of Jesus about being a good shepherd right after the story of Jesus healing a blind man. But the Pharisees, they were so ticked at Jesus and who Jesus was that they didn't accept that healing as coming from Jesus or kind of pointing it to actually coming from a place that's not from God. And they actually throw the healed man out of the synagogue. And Jesus finds the man and he asks him a rather strange question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the healed man wants to believe in him. So Jesus says, you know what? You've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. And I was amazed at how often, you know, Jesus says, yeah, now you get it. You know, you're talking to the one, that Messiah, that the image from the Old Testament that's now here. We see it with the woman at the well and in other places as well. And the man worships Jesus, and Jesus tells him, for judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. So both this invitation to see who I am, But there's also acknowledgement that there are going to be those who aren't going to understand who Jesus is, even though they should see. And that's where the Pharisees who are there come in, and they realize Jesus is talking about them and about being ones who are actually blind. So they say, hey, what do you mean? We blind too? And Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He wants them to be perfectly clear about the consequences of rejecting him, of not following him, of not accepting who he is. He said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. They have no excuse for recognizing that he's the Son of Man. And then I thought, yeah, I know that term, and I know it comes from Daniel, and what is that context that Jesus is talking about here? So I turned to Daniel 7, and then I read, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And I'm thinking, wow, Jesus talking about being a good shepherd. You know, he touched on so many of those elements in terms of having authority and having power. But then I turn to scholars that I love reading, Hardin and Brown, and they reminded me that Daniel 7 is concerned with Babylon and how Babylon is forcing the people to worship their king as God. And Daniel then in a vision sees one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And this man is given privileges normally reserved for God, the authority, the glory, the sovereign power, the worship of men of every language, an eternal kingdom. And then we're remembered that Jesus is Lord. He's the King. And we get back into some of these different images we're looking at. But we also see that Daniel's vision is one of suffering and exaltation. And that Jesus may have used Daniel's one like a Son of Man to communicate the ideas that he's going to be suffering. And he's going to be enthroned. And he's going to have authority. All those hints that are in Jesus' talking about being the good shepherd. And then we have to remember that Jesus is on a deliberate road now to the cross. And he's preparing his disciples for what's coming. And he's giving them glimpses of his power. But he's also hinting at that suffering that's about to come. So now John moves from that into Jesus' teaching about who he is as a good shepherd with themes of authority and suffering in the background. And just before the verses we read, Jesus talks about robbers and strangers and thieves who come to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. Reflecting back to Zechariah 10, which talks of how the sheep need a shepherd who's going to care for them properly. The Lord says, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. Farmers, I know that's what you're asking for right now as well. We're reminded that it is the Lord who sends the thunderstorms. He gives showers of rain to all people and plants of the field to everyone. The idols speak deceitfully. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for a lack of a shepherd. And then God says, my anger burns against the shepherds, and I'll punish the leaders, for the Lord Almighty will care for his flock, the people of Judah. So now we're getting all these connections to Son of Man and how the King of Babylon is trying to be Lord, who's going to be worshipped, and how he claims authority and power and everything else. And now when Jesus talks about being a good shepherd, the Jewish people who knew their scriptures so well would have heard these echoes that, no, our Lord is going to come and be our shepherd. The Lord, the one that we worship, he's going to come for us because we're his sheep. And he's going to come to care for us and to help us flourish again. You know, and Zechariah is talking to the people after they come back from exile. And they've been gone for 70 years because they hadn't listened to God. They hadn't paid attention to who God's calling them to be. And you'd think coming back from exile, they'd be a little bit more careful in listening to God and his ways. But they keep listening to idols and diviners. They keep getting sucked in by bad shepherds who keep telling them lies. Instead of listening to prophets like Zechariah and others that God has sent. So Zechariah says, hey, look, you're not listening to me, but you know what? The Lord is sending. The Lord is coming as Judah's good shepherd. Like I said, in Advent, we looked at Jesus as a good shepherd and we reflected on how his sheep know his voice and recognize him and how Jesus laid down his life for us. But we're going to dig now using Philip Keller to dig deeper into who Jesus is as a good shepherd, but also into who we are as sheep. And the people would have made the connection of Jesus to King David, the shepherd king who wrote Psalm 23 that we read earlier. But I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It just has the language that kind of echoes in my soul, a little bit more poetic than the NIV. Means the same and everything else. Don't doubt different translations, but some just speak to our souls just a little differently. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just gives us this picture of who the Lord is as our shepherd. And Philip Keller, he writes, you know, David in this psalm is speaking not as a shepherd, though he was one, but he's speaking as a sheep, as one of the flock. And he speaks with a strong sense of pride and devotion and admiration. It's as though he's literally boasted aloud, look who my shepherd is, my owner, my manager, the Lord is. And he goes on to marvel that the creator of this enormous universe of overwhelming magnitude deigns to call himself my shepherd and invites me to consider myself his sheep. His special object of affection and attention. And when I read that, I just kind of leaned back in my chair and I just go, wow, the Lord's my shepherd too. The Lord's our shepherd. The one who creates the green pastures and the still waters, who sets that table and fills it, who anoints us with oil, the one who walks with us, the one who guides us, the one who calls us by name. He chose us. He's my shepherd. But then Philip Keller reminds us that being shepherds is not an easy job. Sheep need an incredible amount of attention and care. My dad had goats because he did not want to spend as much time with sheep as they need. And he reminds us that we're like sheep in so many ways. We can be stubborn. Anybody stubborn here? I'm Frisians, a half-Frisian, so. Frisians are proud of being stubborn. But we can also be really dumb. My kids keep reminding me of that. We can think of ourselves of being so brave, and yet in reality, we are more often timid and afraid. Just consider how difficult it is for many of us to share our faith in our good shepherd, with others, to invite others to join us here and to become part of this family, to say, hey, I know times are going good for you, but hard times are coming, just like they do for all of us. I'd love to introduce you to my good shepherd who's willing to lead you in those hard times to places of rest and strength and hope. But honestly, so many of us find it afraid. We're afraid. And sheep have some strange habits. And if we're honest, we all have our own strange habits. And yet our good shepherd still chooses us. He buys us. He makes us his own in a spirit of joy and delight. He takes care of us, provides for us as a good shepherd, provides places of safety, places to rest in green pasture, providing for us. And when we find ourselves in fear and worry and strife or conflict, our good shepherd guides us to still, quiet waters, to be refreshed and to rest. He notes how sheep are afraid of running water. And when you go to these mountain pastures, it's all streams running down. So they would have to dig out alongside the stream and then divert with rocks, build this guide so that the water would rush into these pits that have been dug by him, by hand, so that they could come and drink from quiet waters, to take away their fear. Keller notes that the master in people's lives makes the difference in their destiny, where they end up. And that goes back to Zechariah. It goes back to Daniel, where, you know, there's all these people who want to be our masters. And do we allow them to? I thought back to all those wise, caring people who offered me guidance over the years, who kept pointing me back to Jesus to say, the first person you got to keep listening to is Jesus. He's the shepherd I need to always keep listening to. And Paul encourages Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this spirit of power and this power and lack of fear comes from the Holy Spirit, a gift from our good shepherd. The Holy Spirit helps us to listen for and recognize the voice of the Spirit, especially it's his guidance. And when we followed our nose in our stomachs and unwittingly wandered away, and then we experience those moments of fear of not seeing our shepherd or hearing him or feeling him, we get calmed when we hear the voice of the shepherd come near again. Sheep require more handling and direction than any other livestock. And without a conscientious shepherd, the flock would easily overgraze their area, keep going back to the same places, eating the grass right down to the roots, destroying the fields. The shepherd has to keep guiding them to fresh fields and clean water. Otherwise, he becomes sick and wastes away. Shepherd has to be aware of their destructive habits and to keep them on the move in what Keller calls a predetermined plan of action, a deliberate planned rotation from one grazing ground to another in line with right and proper principles of sound management. Reminds me of talking with some of you who are farmers and how you use that same language and you have that same knowledge of animals and of crops and of land. But it speaks to our own tendency. to just kind of repeating our own habits, whether good or bad. How we need to keep our ears and hearts open to our shepherd's guidance into new ways of living or being as his sheep, so that we can grow and flourish trusting his guidance. I was thinking of a conversation I'd had with someone who said, you know, my devotions, they've kind of stopped being meaningful. I read a verse, I read a short passage, I read a short prayer. And I remember when that was so special to me, but now it's like going through the motions. They were talking about being dry, feeling far away from Jesus. And we talked about how we're given all these spiritual gifts and all these spiritual directions and spiritual habits and practices, and that sometime we need to say, reading scripture is wonderful, but we need maybe to spend some more time in prayer, or maybe we need to practice some generosity, or maybe we need to spend some time in solitude or in creation, or maybe we need to spend some time serving, that we get shaped and formed in all these different ways. And maybe we need to really stretch ourselves and do something that we would never have thought of doing, maybe a fast or something like that, where we say, Lord, nourish me, fill me, you know, shape me, feed me. Let me feel your presence. Let me hear your voice once again. I'm coming to you to hear you, to let you maybe break my habits, which have become only habits. And help me to engage in a relationship with you again. Keller shares how sheep often fight among themselves. Talks about how rivalries and jealousy are not uncommon. And he says it's amazing that the shepherd's presence puts an end to all rivalry. How just by the shepherd showing up, all of a sudden makes the sheep realize, hey, wait a minute. This isn't healthy. This isn't good. And he does it just by being. That reminded me, or he said, the less aggressive sheep were often far more contented, quiet, and restful. And I was reminded of Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonians to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you'll not be dependent on anyone. I have yet to see people who get in fights regularly kind of be those types of people that others look up to and say, wow, I want to be just like that. We tend to find those who are mature and who are solid in their knowledge of the Lord and of who they are. That the closer we get to the Lord, the more mature we become, the less fighting we engage in, but the more conversation and the more listening and the more reflection we do instead. When we're attuned to our shepherd's voice and presence, we find contentment and surety and peace, even when we walk through hard times and feel overwhelmed by life. And the good shepherd restores our souls. When we look to Jesus as our good shepherd, we see his willingness to lay down his life for us, his obedience to his Father's will and plan to restore us to the Father through the cross, washing away our sin. But there's more to this image. Jesus restores and brings healing to our souls when we go through times of sorrow or times of doubt and fear, times of loneliness, times when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Shepherds tend to the hurts of the sheep. They'll carry a lamb or sheep when they're unable to go any further. And that's why I realize there is something so personal in Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd and claiming us as his sheep. He knows our names. He knows us, even the us that we wish he didn't know. And yet he still claims us as his. He still takes responsibility for us. He still goes to the Father and says, look at these sheep through me. There is still so much more. He wrote a whole book on it, on who Jesus is as our good shepherd. But the big and most important question is, do you know this good shepherd as yours? Amen. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the Good Shepherd, for Jesus, for this image of who he is, but also that image of who we are, for the power, for the strength, for the comfort, for the peace that comes knowing that we are Jesus' beloved sheep. That he lays down his life so that we can be your children. So Lord, help us to walk in this hope. And help us to share this hope with so many others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.